And good afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here in the studio with Laron Landis. The very, very late Patty Fink will be with us next week because she's running just that late.
That is extremely late.
That's extremely late. We have Josh and Chris Maness working the board, and I think Josh is going to work the board and Chris will talk to us.
That would be cool.
And Doc, of course, is doing the video, and the show will be available online on video, so you can see us talking about whatever we're talking about today, because we have no idea yet.
No idea. We're just going to run with it.
I was invited to speak at Cathedral of Hope today. They were studying Exodus, and they asked me to do a piece, so I did it partially in Hebrew, partially in English. Mm-hmm. They listed me as the lay reader, and people in my office saw that, and they asked me, is that your title, or is that an instruction? Apparently it was my title. I also was explaining it. I was doing the Song of Miriam, and in the Song of Miriam, I thought it was real interesting as I was studying the Hebrew, because believe it or not, I'm not fluent. You didn't know that, huh? It says, and then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron. And I realized why they identify her that way, because even though she's a prophetess in her own right, she's still identified by the oldest male. So I said, because she's unmarried, and in modern Hebrew they would probably call her, instead of Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, they'd just call her Miriam the lesbian. Apparently in the TV room they started laughing and said, did he just say that? You know, because I'm standing up on the pulpit there, yeah. So did he just say that? And somebody that I know back there said, yeah, that's David. Yes,
I was going to say, I take it the folks in the back and never met you.
Well, one.
The one, okay. The one they've met.
Anyway, I was just reading an article talking about church. Church is a dangerous place to be. 2 out of 3 Americans believe gay people commit suicide, at least partially, because of the messages coming out of church. That's from a report that CNN reported. Dan Savage on that CNN report said said that he remembers himself having been told to go home and commit suicide and that he was going to hell.
Wow.
What an awful message. I mean, at Cathedral of Hope, where I was this morning, you'd never get that message. And it's not just that church. You wouldn't get that in a synagogue. You wouldn't get it at, most churches anymore. I would hope. Maybe more rural churches. I mean, there are plenty here. You know, Pastor Jeffress down at First Baptist, you know, mostly with other religions, I just say, go do what you want to do. With that one, he's a hate monger like this, and nothing short of that. But I don't think most pastors are telling people to kill themselves.
I think most pastors are not, but they are out there. I mean, there's one, at the time that we look it up, just last week, he was part of leading a congregation of some of the so-called ex-gay movement, and he was saying that gays should be stoned to death. Yes. So, yeah, absolutely, they're out there.
Part of this article, and what caught my eye about this, was they said that the New York Times, when they were reporting on the suicide of Tyler Clementi, remember, he was the teen who was the freshman at Princeton who jumped off the George Washington Bridge.
After his roommate had filmed him, secretly filmed him.
His parents, his mother left the church that she had been in because they had been teaching her and saying anti-gay things. And part of the problem wasn't necessarily, it comes out now, just the roommate. It's what the church had taught his family. So you get that message, and all of a sudden, it starts to make more sense why that was so disturbing to him. So anyway, so I was in church this morning. I had a blast. It really was a lot of fun. They're a very welcoming congregation.
They are. Yeah. I'm not a big church goer, but I have been.
No, you're not. You're a heathen.
But I do love that church.
Yeah, your poor child growing up to be a heathen. She's going to hell, you know.
Well, of course, she has two daddies.
Right.
And we'll be going right there with her.
Yeah, well.
As long as we're together.
Yep. You certainly are. Okay, lots of gay marriage news this week and some odd things. Gay rights activists in New Zealand are really annoyed about these two men who are getting married. Now, these are gay rights, marriage equality activists who are annoyed about these two guys who are ages 23 and 24 because they want to get married.
Yeah, this is kind of like that movie. I don't know if you've all have seen it. It's called, I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, that came out in 2007. Well, this is kind of that coming to real life.
Mm-hmm.
Those two guys in the movie, they were straight, got married. They hid it. I guess that's one of the big differences. They actually pretended to be a gay couple when they were not, to take advantage of some health benefits,
mm-hmm.
Health insurance benefits. These two guys got married as part of a radio station competition. The competition was they were purposely looking for two straight guys to see how far they would go to get tickets to the next Rugby World Cup.
In England.
In England.
So that's a nice prize because those,
it is.
Those airline tickets are going to be a couple of $1,000s.
Absolutely. Especially round trip. Absolutely. But so these, and they, I think they had over 200 entries, and they whittled it down to a small group of finalists, and these two guys won, and so they tied the knot. And people are upset. Some of the gay activists there are upset, understandably why, but they're upset because they are saying, actually, the funny thing is they've upset both anti-gay activists and gay advocates.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both saying that these guys are making a mockery of marriage. David and I differ opinion. We kind of have a different opinion about it.
Yeah. I go back to, there was an episode, one of the last episodes, it might have been the final episode of Boston Legal, where James Spader and Captain Kirk are going to get married. What's his name? William Shatner.
Thank you.
So they plan to get married. Now, through the whole series, they've been womanizers and they're always dating, but they have never had any kind of relationship, a real serious relationship with any woman. Toward the end of the series, William Shatner's character develops Alzheimer's, and James Spader decides that he's going to marry the Shatner character. He's going to marry him because he wants to be able to take care of him for the rest of his life and take the responsibility that comes with marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying the best way to get the responsibility so that I can take him to the hospital and there's no question what's the relationship, so that I can do all these things for him as he loses his ability to take care of himself. I'm going to take on that responsibility since, you know, he has Alzheimer's, he's not getting married, and obviously I haven't been very good at relationships either. I'm going to marry him. And they're taken to court by a gay rights group because this took place in Massachusetts and they already had same-sex marriage there. They're taken to court that you're making a mockery of marriage. And the point of this was, what's marriage? This is, you know, the very heart of it, you know, through sickness and in health. I'm going to take care of him for the rest mm-hmm. of his life. And he's debating, and arguing with the judge and with the other side that we're not making a mockery of it just because we're not going to be having sex. And just because we aren't gay doesn't mean that we shouldn't be able to take advantage of this too. Okay, now this couple in New Zealand that's getting married, it's not as serious a reason. They did it to win a contest.
David and I don't have a problem with it. You know, let's put it out there.
Yeah.
I really don't have a problem with them. Yes, it's kind of for a silly reason to get married, but that's what they want to do. It's not affecting me.
But, the Chuck and Larry thing, the idea behind that movie and the reason that it annoyed a lot of people in the marriage rights movement, the marriage equality movement, is because, yeah, it's going to make it look like the only reason we want to get married is so that we can get insurance. How many times have straight couples gotten married for that very reason?
Well, straight couples get married for all kinds of reasons that have nothing to do with procreation, has nothing to do with love and respect for one another, has nothing to do with wanting to spend the rest of their lives for each other.
This being an American Airlines town, I know lots of flight attendants who've gotten married for flight benefits.
Exactly. I mean, you just don't know what are the bare-bone reasons of somebody getting married. And I don't think it's kind of impossible when you go apply for a marriage license to have someone sit there and judge or go down a checklist to make sure all of those reasons are you going to get married. Mm-hmm. So But long story short, it's none of your business.
Now, this couple that's getting
married. If they
want
to get married, let them get married.
Yeah, so this couple got married. The rugby finals in England are next summer, so they're going to be married through then.
Oh, yeah.
So they're planning on being married for a while.
Well, yeah, they released a statement, you know, and they said that, where'd it go? We're not here to insult anyone. We're here to do our own thing and travel down our own path. They said they expect to be married at least for 2 to 3 years before they file a divorce. And here's another thing. These aren't just two guys who met each other for about a month or a couple of months. They've known each other since they were kids. So they really do have a special bond with each other.
They might really fall in love. They might really fall in love.
Who knows? I think they do love each other. Just
as friends.
As friends, not in a sexual way.
Now, when it comes to them getting divorced, I have no idea how easy or hard it is to get divorced in New Zealand. Not a clue.
Yeah.
As long as they're getting a divorce is as easy and as difficult, or as difficult as anybody else's.
Exactly.
You know, and if it's difficult, and if you have to show irreconcilable differences, if you need to show, you know, whatever you need to show in New Zealand, fine.
Yeah.
You know, I would think in a way they'll probably have it easier, in, you know, because all they'll have to do is say, because we're both straight, you know, and how did that happen? All of us, oh, reparative therapy. No, yeah, you know, who knows?
Who knows?
I'm assuming it's not too tough to divorce here.
That gives me homework. I'll have to look that up.
We'll have to look that up. Did you see their picture, though?
Yeah.
They look like each other.
I thought they were brothers.
Uh-huh.
They look a lot like each other.
One has a longer beard, but they look just like each other.
They look just like each other.
So I hope it's not a matter of incest.
But I love what someone posted about this in response to it. Once again, who's making mockery of marriage
is straight people.
It's straight people.
Yeah, yeah.
These are straight guys doing this, mm-hmm. not us. Yeah.
Do you know also?
So they want to claim that we're making them a mockery of marriage. No, you got your How to Marry a Millionaire, and you got
the Bachelor.
The Bachelor.
Oh, that's the worst.
You know, those are total strangers. And now you got two straight guys getting married for rugby tickets.
Yeah. One guy and 50 bimbettes, or one woman and 50 yeah. Bimbos.
I guess.
Something.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, how does that not making fun of marriage?
Exactly.
But
we're the ones who's making a mockery of it.
Okay, so now talking about making fun of something, National Organization for Marriage, they're continuing their legal battle against Oregon's gay marriage decision. What the gay marriage decision was, the lower federal court ruled that Oregon's marriage law was unconstitutional. The governor and the attorney general decided not to file a lawsuit. The governor decided he wasn't going to designate somebody to file a lawsuit on his behalf. Why? Because they both agree.
Right.
So having same-sex marriage and marriage equality in Oregon is fine.
So what did NOM do?
So NOM filed that what they're looking for is they want standing so that they can file the lawsuit. The Prop 8 case clearly says that they have no standing.
Right.
They are not affected by marriage. So they filed, and they got it as high as the Supreme Court. Each level asked them, how are you affected by this? And they couldn't give a reason. Mm-hmm. Do you know why? Because they're not.
Exactly.
But
the latest decision came from
The Supreme Court. They're appealing it.
Who
are they appealing this to? What they've done is they've gone back to the lowest court again with new arguments. Now, in the latest petition, NOM said that the lack of an opposing party in the Oregon litigation is part of a dangerous trend threatening the very adversarial nature of our system of justice. Now, think about that.
Right.
What that's saying is this country's in danger when everybody agrees on something. They're saying that by not having somebody to oppose a decision, why is that a terrible thing? Why is this country in danger when a court rules on something, the attorney general agrees, the people who brought the suit is who she's agreeing with. She's saying, yes, I agree with you. The governor agrees. Both of them were elected by wide margins.
Mm-hmm.
why is this a bad thing? Why is this a dangerous thing for our judicial system when a court rules? What they're really saying is when a lower court rules, it needs to be appealed. Every single decision that is decided needs to be appealed?
Right. No. That would be impossible. And basically what they're saying is because they didn't get the answer that they wanted. It's a bad decision.
They're saying it's a bad decision because their one little group
exactly
isn't getting their way.
Mm-hmm.
And so they want to be able to sue on this. Now, is it okay that a small minority should be heard in court? Of course they should. But they have been denied and denied again and denied all the way up to the Supreme Court. So they're starting over again now with the argument that, well, somebody has to do it.
Nobody has to do it. So they've appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court now.
They've already appealed to the Supreme Court. We're turned down. They lost in the Supreme Court already. They're starting over. And this is the new argument. Yeah, they're starting over.
Gotcha.
The Supreme Court ruling like this wasn't good enough for them.
Yeah, I keep wondering where are they getting the money? Because this isn't the first case they've poked their nose in. They have poked their nose in probably every single case.
Well, they were big in Maine,
mm-hmm.
and they were found. They lost that case. What happened in Maine was the opponents wanted to get out the names of all of their donors. You know what? You sign petitions, you
right.
donate to public organizations like that. It's public information. And they lost in that one, too. They're afraid they're going to be – then don't do it if you're that afraid that what you're doing is wrong. We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here in the studio with Laron Landis. The late Patty Fink will be joining us in just a in a week. And Josh is here. Doc's here. We'll be back with more right after this. And it's time for the entertainment report.
All right, this one is for Chris. So, Josh, tell Chris to listen.
Okay.
Several celebrities have been sharing some of the great moments at Joan Rivers' funeral last week and how it was unlike any funeral they'd ever seen. Comedian Margaret Cho is one of those and said on an interview she did with Larry King that, quote, "I think Joan Rivers really put the fun in funeral. It was the best place to be if you were a good-looking gay man because it was the richest gay man in the world all coming together. If I was a gay man, I definitely would have kept my grinder tuned on." So... Chris, you should have went to that wedding. You should have went to that funeral. You should have went to that funeral. You would have found your husband. Oh, well. A big congratulations goes out to actress and co-host The Talk, Sarah Gilbert, who announced live on the show to the surprise of her other co-host and the audience that she is pregnant. This will be Gilbert's third child, and it's going to be the first with her wife, music producer Linda Perry. They married earlier this year. Co-host screamed with excitement, immediately surrounded Gilbert with hugs. The audience began to chant, "Sarah, Sarah, Sarah." Now, I watched it. It was a really, really nice moment. Really nice moment.
Did you see the way it began?
Yeah, it was part of Face Your Fears.
Face Your Fears, and the day before, one of the co-hosts
had snakes all over.
Right.
And
so she was going to have something placed on her stomach.
She was going to lay on a bed of nails.
Yeah.
And then have another bed of nails, I think, put on her stomach, and then something broken over it. And she was like, "I want to face my fears, but there's a reason why I can't do this. I physically can't. I'm pregnant." And so the audience went wild. It was really great. But here's something else I noticed, because, I mean, I don't watch The Talk, but I've seen several. I'm not at home to watch it. But because of this, I started watching different clips, because you're on YouTube, it'll just take you to all kinds of different clips. This was CBS's answer to The View. I kind of got to admit, it seems like it is better than The View.
Of course.
It's not all that cattiness. It's not that they agree on everything, but it's just not that cattiness that you see on The View, and they seem to really, really like each other. I mean, genuinely like each other. So if you like that kind of thing, I would say go watch The Talk instead of The View.
So are you telling me I shouldn't watch my Whoopi?
You know, I'm the biggest Whoopi fan, but I wish Whoopi would leave the show too. And
Rosie is coming back.
Rosie's coming back. I think Whoopi, her acting talent is so above that, she needs to get back on the movie screen. Get off the View. Another congratulations goes out to actor Neil Patrick Harris and his partner, also actor David Burka. The longtime couple finally made it official as they married this week in Italy. Neil announced the news via Twitter saying, "Guess what? David Burka and I got married over the weekend in Italy. Yep, we put the N and the D in husband."
Do you know, I thought he was appearing on Broadway in Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
He did.
For like 100 performances
mm-hmm,
was all.
Mm-hmm,
he was a real short run in that.
And
now
fact,
Andrew Rannells is in that role.
He got nominated for a Tony. I don't know if
he won.
He won, yeah.
Did he win?
I know he got nominated. Several celebrities attended the wedding, including Elton John performing. It's about time Elton John performed at a gay wedding.
Yeah,
seriously.
Instead of Rush Limbaugh.
Instead of Rush Limbaugh. So maybe he's getting his gay card back. Neil and David have been together for 10 years and are raising 3-year-old twins. So congratulations to them. And last,
would think that they would have gotten married before the kids were married, like before the kids were born,
right.
Like you did.
Yes.
To make sure that they're not, you know,
bees.
Little,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody can be as traditional as
that's
me.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
A church wedding like you did.
Right. And last, Sarah Tuello, the former Green Bay Packers player who will be returning to Lambeau Field today to sing the national anthem. It's going to be his first time returning to the stadium since he retired back in 91, and then he didn't come out until 2002. He's been watching Michael Sam's journey with great interest, he said. Unlike Tuello, Sam is the first openly gay player in the NFL. But Sam, they play the same position, defensive end. Tuello was the last person to record a sack against John Elway. That's big. Now he's mounting a campaign to sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl. Good luck with that, because they usually pick a really big celebrity to do that.
I had a celebrity thing. A survey of 5,700 SAG and AFTRA members, that's the union that represents TV and
Screen
film
Actors Guild,
found that more than half of lesbian, gay, and bisexual performers have heard directors and producers make anti-gay comments about actors, and that 53% of LGBT respondents believe that directors and producers are biased against LGBT performers. The study was conducted by UCLA's think tank, the Williams Institute, which is basically they do gay research. It was funded by the SAG Producers Industry Advancement and Cooperative Fund. You know, what's interesting about that is you think of the entertainment industry as being so liberal.
Yeah, you think Hollywood is so liberal, and
It isn't.
That's a bit of a fallacy.
Yeah, when I was working doing, you know, different TV and movie stuff, which I really haven't done much lately at all. But, you know, I was doing it on and off, but for like a year I was doing a lot of it. And that's what I found also. Usually I was the only gay person on the set.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Pretty much the only one. Like even when I was doing Q Television, other than those of us who were on stage talking, everybody else, the whole staff, the production crew, they were all straight. I mean, they had to be okay with our being gay because of what it was, but it was all straight.
All right.
You know, and this kind of doesn't surprise me.
It doesn't surprise me, but way before this, I had a little stint in that business also, especially theater. And what's really sad about it is a lot of these behind the scenes players are gay.
Mm-hmm.
Directors, hate to be stereotypical, but hair and makeup, costume, a lot of those, you know, these people who put these movies or shows together are gay, and they themselves are anti-gay. Mm-hmm. They do not want to push that on screen or on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So that's even sadder to me. But no, it's very true. It's not as liberal as you think.
You know, and what was funny about it was, while I'm saying I was the only gay person on set, it came up maybe, but it wasn't like we talked about it, because nothing to talk about. We're there to do a job that had nothing to do with it. Like, even on the Friday Night Lights set, like, nobody. And there could be hundreds of people on that set. Nobody else who was there who was gay.
Right.
It was real interesting.
And we can see the evidence on screen. How long has it been since Brokeback Mountain came out and was a huge hit?
2005.
Okay. Yeah. That's 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. Have you seen another A-list movie put on in Hollywood to start two gay characters?
A-list celebrities playing gay characters.
Gay characters.
In the starring role.
In the starring role. Yeah. I can't think of one. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a ton of gay films out there, but they're all indie films. Mm-hmm. I can't think of a one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So you would think, okay, woo, we had a success with Brokeback Mountain. There's going to be more coming. A
couple of more statistics from this. 20% of gay men and 13% of lesbians who responded, and these are SAG members, who responded to the survey, reported that they'd experienced discrimination in the workplace. Again, you think of Hollywood and the entertainment industry as being so liberal. Even if they're not hiring, that's kind of that insidious type of discrimination. Even if they're not hiring, you expect them, once you're hired and you're on the set, that there's going to be some level of respect.
Right.
You know, and I can honestly say, even though everybody knew I was gay, I can honestly say there was no disrespect ever that I saw. So, you know, and in fact, the bigger the set, for like Friday Night Lights, it was a big set, I was hired because they saw me as being useful on the set. As you know, when I was on the field, I knew when to tell the other actors, these aren't real football players, get the hell out of the way because he's gonna miss. So anyway,
yeah, so that's unfortunate.
And that's the entertainment report.
The Supreme Court is back in the news.
Yeah, Supreme Court is about to have its first meeting on September 29th to discuss which cases they're going to start hearing in the new session. And on that...
Well, that they might hear.
They're going to consider which cases to take up.
Right.
And on the list of which ones that they're going to consider are five marriage equality cases that have... Because these cases, you know, originally they were saying that... Well, originally they were saying we'll have marriage equality by 2018. Then it got pushed up. But they were saying the Supreme Court wants all these cases to play out in the appeals courts. And even, you know, we've talked about this, and we were saying, yeah, they might skip next year, let it play out further so that we get some decisions. Well, they have enough decisions that they have five cases to choose, because each of these cases were taken up by the appeals courts very quickly. And then the decisions came out exceptionally quickly.
Mm-hmm. Especially this last one, 9 days.
Yeah.
9 days. Well, that is quick.
Because they want to be one of the cases that is possibly heard.
And that is one that they're possibly going to take up.
Do you know the one appeals court that has been dragging its feet?
It's the one we're in.
Yeah.
Which is the Fifth Circuit.
Fifth Circuit.
Yeah.
Which probably is good, because we're not expecting a good decision from them. The Fifth Circuit is probably the most conservative of all of the circuits. We have a very bad decision from Louisiana from not last week, week before.
Mm-hmm. At least that was a lower court, though.
But it was the first negative decision.
It is.
And when I say a bad decision, you know, badly written. And on both sides, they're saying badly written.
Yeah.
And just bad decision for our side, because what it says is it affirms the right of the state to choose who can get married in that state. Where it's badly written is the logic just isn't there behind it. What they're saying is that the judge wrote that the plaintiffs didn't prove discrimination.
Exactly.
Well, how did they not prove discrimination? If you pay one tax rate and I pay a different tax rate, isn't that discrimination?
Exactly.
If you can go and visit your partner in the hospital and I can't go and visit, isn't that discrimination? You know, it's so easy to prove that it's there. Edie Windsor, the defense of marriage case, her case was a simple tax case. If I was married to a man, I would have paid no inheritance tax. I was married to a woman. And so I owed $265,000 in inheritance tax. That's obvious discrimination. We're just talking dollars and cents here. There is nothing emotional about it. It's just plain dollars and cents.
It is.
Easy to prove. He didn't get that. He also denied the entire 14th Amendment due process.
Yeah.
He said, of course you're getting due process. There's, you know, and just kind of dismissed the whole idea of due process.
He would have been better had he just gone on the usual argument, which is also bad, but it's a little bit better than what he came up with. He would have been better had he just said marriage is for the sole purpose of procreation. Again, not that that's a good argument, but...
No, it's been discounted.
It's been discounted every time, but at least that's better than to flat out say you didn't prove that you were discriminated against.
Because
really?
The same day that that case came out, Indiana and Wisconsin came out, and in that case, the judges, and that was the one that came out in 9 days.
It came out 9 days.
That was the one where they were asking the state, well, if you can adopt, if you're gay... Don't you agree it's better if a kid has two parents? Isn't it better for the child to have two parents? Isn't it legal in your state for gay people to adopt? Then why shouldn't they marry?
Right. Exactly.
And when the Attorney General absolutely ran out of any arguments, you know, and one of the other justices looked at him and said, the light's on, but don't think you're getting out of this. Answer the question.
And he couldn't.
And he said, well, it was worth a try. He threw up his hands and he sat down.
Yeah.
In other words, what he was saying was, yeah, we really don't have an argument there, but we just want to keep these people from getting married because we want to keep these people from getting married.
And that decision was, that came out in 9 days, that decision was unanimous. Mm-hmm. 3-0.
Yeah, and one of the strongest ones. Anyway, MSNBC put out five reasons that they think that we're going to hear something right now. First of all, pressure is building from both sides of the debate. Plaintiffs are saying... Look, you're putting a stay on our marriages and our ability to get married, and that's harming us. So
right.
You have to make this decision because our not being able to get married is harming our children. It's harming benefits. Social Security still isn't straightened out on a federal level.
It's not.
Neither are veterans' benefits. In fact, the Veterans Administration just ruled.
And issues when one of the partners passes away.
Those are the worst.
Because one of the partners, the worst.
Yeah. So, but on the other side of the debate, I think they're ready for it to be over as well because they're tired of being embarrassed by this because every one of their arguments is not just being denied, they're being ridiculed in these decisions. They're really being told not just, well, we don't agree with you, and that would be the normal legal thing to do. They're being told every single reason that their arguments are hateful. And it depends on the judge, but they're using wording that strong that your arguments are hateful, they're stupid, they're insincere, you're a liar, a whole variety of ways. So I think that they're ready to have it over. And two churches that have been the biggest funders of these things, which is the Mormon Church and the Catholic Church, the Catholic Church has new leadership now, and with the Pope, you know, there was big discussion in the gay and lesbian community about whether the Pope saying, who am I to judge, whether that was really a big change.
Well,
Catholics who are on our side on this are saying that's a huge change, and it's okay for us to deal with other Catholics who are gay and lesbian in a kind way.
All right. You know, but let's make it clear that the Pope has not come out in favor of gay marriage, but he did say, is that in another statement, that it's an error to put so much attention on it.
Well, and that's another thing. So
there's bigger issues.
So
out
where
there.
The Mormon Church is backing off and where the Catholic Church is backing off is they're saying, you know, this isn't a religious decision. This is a civil decision.
It is.
And that's what we're asking for because we're not asking any church at all that should marry us. So anyway, so there's the sheer momentum is the second thing that MSNBC is talking about, the momentum of all of these cases that are coming forward. The fact that there are five that are before the court already, they're having this meeting on September 29th. If they don't decide to take one of those, and they might not decide to take one of those at this first meeting. There's a meeting in October, in November, in December, and these cases just keep moving along. Now, what's going to happen between now and December is there are several other cases that are well on their way that might be decided and put in that pile also. So I could see them deciding not deciding to take one in September and waiting to let it play out for another month or two because of the speed at which this is going. Third reason is, Justice Ginsburg has outright said so. She made a statement just before performing her second same-sex wedding.
Yeah.
She made a statement and said basically that we're going to decide, and we're going to decide the whole thing this time. One of the appeals court justices who wrote the Prop 8 case in the Ninth Circuit, he also said so, that it's just time. And he was asked to hear several more cases just this week. The Idaho case was just heard by the appeals court. And see, these are the cases that if he rushes with his opinion, it's not like he's heard this for the first time.
Right.
He's already decided in the California case. So he heard Idaho, Nevada, and in Hawaii. There was an odd Hawaii case, even though they have marriage equality.
Hmm.
They want it decided by the court as well. But Idaho, he can hear. Nevada's planning on doing an Oregon, and we can talk about that after the break. The other thing is, the other reason that they're saying is because the Supreme Court's already gotten involved. By weighing in on Windsor,
they
made their decision,
right,
and they need to finish that decision. We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM in Dallas. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Ron Landis, Josh and or Chris Manus, and Doc, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Hi, this is Patty Fink, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
And Patty Fink is not here. She's running very late. She'll be here next week. She and Aaron took off. It's Aaron's birthday, so they're in Marfa.
Yep, and there's somebody else's birthday. It's David's tomorrow.
It is. I'm going to be
birthday, happy
David.
Birthday.
Thank you. I'm going to be 39. Why are people in this?
Why do people laugh when you say that?
I don't know. I can't change my Facebook page because I've changed it the limited number of times that you're allowed to change your birth year. Apparently.
Oh.
So actually, I should be turning 40 this year, according to Facebook. And you can't lie on the internet. So we were just talking about five reasons MSNBC is saying that the Supreme Court is probably going to take a marriage case this year. We were thinking they were going to let it play out a little bit longer. But I think we were also thinking appeals court decisions don't usually come along that quickly. And they've been coming out
just like that.
This, one right after the other.
So, depending upon which one they take, if they take all of them and just combine it into one case, how do you think it's going to come down? We already know we at least got four.
I think Kennedy is going to write it, and I think Kennedy is going to come down on the side of people have a right to get married. And he's going to be very clear that based on discrimination, just like in the Windsor case, and so they'd be smart to tailor the arguments for the discrimination part of it. And he's going to be very clear that my marriage doesn't affect your marriage any more than anyone else's marriage affects anybody else's marriage. And the argument, and I think he'll go very detailed, the argument that same-sex marriage is hurting straight marriage is just not just a lie, it's libel, basically, right. Because what's ruining straight marriage right now are straight people not doing
exactly.
It right.
It's not us.
You know, in state after state where they've added same-sex marriage, the divorce rate has gone down.
Yeah.
And why has it gone down? Because we take marriage at this point anyway more seriously. It's people who've been together longer. While you had a child through surrogacy, it wasn't like you were 16 years old, got drunk, and hired a surrogate.
No, not at all.
That's his story.
That's a story. Thank you. Thank you. That is the official story.
That is the official story. But I'm going to be out on a limb here and be a little optimistic. I think we'll probably get a 6-3 decision.
You think one of the other justices?
I think one of the other justices is going to surprise us and say, you know what? They're kind of right now, and I don't predict that six person to
Scalia.
Be Scalia. However, if Scalia listens to his own quote, he will go our way, because he did say, I think
that
it was
Lawrence
in the Lawrence v. Texas, he did say after this, there's no reason why gay and lesbian people can't get married.
But he wasn't saying it because he believes it.
He wasn't saying it as
a warning.
He was saying it as a warning, but still, if you follow your own quote, it should be 7-2. But I know it's not going to be that. So I'm thinking it might be 6-3. Maybe Roberts.
Alito or Roberts?
Maybe Alito or Roberts, because we know Thomas is not going to.
No, well, Thomas votes the way Scalia votes.
He does. He does.
Invariably.
Yeah.
We'll see. Arizona, there was an interesting case this week. The Arizona case against the state to make Arizona's law unconstitutional is moving along. One of the couples broke off from that.
Yes, a federal judge ordered Arizona to recognize the marriage of a gay man who lost his spouse who died of cancer. And they had already been married. They had been together for 40 years. Then they married just this past summer. So what he's suing for is to be put on his partner's or his spouse's death certificate. And that's a big deal. If you've ever lost somebody, you've had to deal with funeral arrangements, et cetera, you know that's a big deal. And the judge agreed. So it's a very narrow...
And refused to stay it.
Yes.
And the state at this point is not appealing that stay. It only applies to one couple.
Yeah, just this one couple.
But it shows, and this is where it's very important, it shows where that court is thinking. It shows how they're planning on dealing with same-sex marriage.
But it also shows? It shows common sense compassion. I mean, how hateful would it be to say no? I know you've been together for over 40 years. You did legally marry.
Ohio.
How hateful would it be to say, no, you can't be on the death certificate?
This isn't the first one of these cases in Ohio, and then their attorney general appealed it. They were appealing a case against a widow, somebody who had just lost his husband.
Yes.
They were appealing that case so that he couldn't be on that death certificate and to give him more trouble when he's trying to just settle the estate.
Settle the estate.
The worst time of his life.
Get funeral arrangements. You know, all of the things that comes with when you lose somebody. It's a lot of paperwork and a lot of... It's a horrible time.
Well, it's also... the reason for it is just to avoid the lawsuit from the family.
Exactly.
You know, the family, the rest of the family coming in and challenging, no, I want that sofa. That sofa isn't yours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to see your stuff, and I've seen this in lots of cases with people who, couples where one of them died of AIDS, where they're not just grieving and themselves, in those cases, themselves sick and very in quite a few of the cases, and didn't live much longer. Couldn't you wait until after the second partner died too? But these horrible families, and they're walking out with the furniture.
Or even worse, you have purchased property with your spouse.
And you lose your house.
And you lose your house because, according to the state, you only own half of it. Your spouse owns the other half.
And the family owns half of it now.
So now the deceased partner's family owns it, and they come in and they say, well, if you want to keep living here, you need to pay us rent, buy us out. Really?
Mm-hmm.
And
straight couple has to deal with that?
Exactly. What straight? Yeah. So there's a lot of reasons why this was not only just a perfect, a great ruling. This is the main reason why we need marriage equality in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the questions was, will that ruling have broader implications? The ruling, and this just came out on Friday, the ruling was very narrowly focused on the question of whether he can obtain death benefits.
Right.
Ohio had a similar case going. Two gay men whose spouses were dying sued to win the right to be listed as the surviving spouses on their death certificates and for their spouses to be listed as having been married. But this one was really, really narrow. Just list me on the death certificate. It wasn't recognize me, just list me on the death certificate so that I have that death certificate so that I can send it out.
Right.
And this case, though, is part of that broader fight. I think they gave a good indication how they're going to rule on the broader case.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, because they're a court that's ruling with compassion. I think they're going to hear the case, and unless there are some very good arguments that nobody else has come up with.
And at this point, I don't think they're going to.
Yeah. You know, some other stories that have come along. I don't know if you've seen the ads, and I haven't seen them as much. The first week, they were running forever. CVS Health. Mm-hmm. CVS was advertising that as of Monday, and this was last week, as of Monday, we no longer sell cigarettes. Oh, and we have these new health clinics in our stores. You can come by and see a doctor. Now, it's good that they're offering health clinics, right? Because in a lot of the stores are all over the place, and it's good to have more health care available rather than less, right?
Yep.
It's good that they stopped selling cigarettes. Cigarettes aren't healthy, right?
Yep.
But by putting them into the same ad, to me what they're saying is, hey, we've been smoke-free since Monday. Come see us. You know, we really know about how to protect your health because we haven't been smoking since Monday. I get the advertising that we're no longer selling cigarettes because it just wasn't healthy. But for a company that just got it with smoking, to tell me that that's where I should go for my health care, I knew 2 weeks before then that smoking wasn't healthy. Maybe even more than 2 weeks before.
Yeah.
I think what this is saying is, you know what? We're just not making as much money on cigarettes anymore, but all these new people who are coming along who have health insurance, we're going to really cash in on them, and we'd like you to be one of those people that we're going to cash in on.
I think that's a very cynical view of it.
I think I'm not being cynical enough with this. I'm not going to that store anymore. I don't trust them. Because what their new motto is, CVS Health, anything for a buck.
Well, not really, David. I mean, because I don't have a problem with them not selling tobacco anymore, and I don't think they're going to be the first. I don't know if they're the first, or I don't think they're going to be the last to stop selling
cigarettes.
I'm not
arguing with them with stopping selling cigarettes.
But as far as the little clinics that they have, I think they're called Minute Clinics. I just don't have a problem with it.
I don't have a problem with them stopping selling cigarettes.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with them putting in clinics.
Right.
I have a problem with them putting that into the same ad as if, because as of Monday, we know healthcare with 7 days experience. Come see us. My doctor knew from the time he was in med school that smoking wasn't healthy for. He grew up knowing that.
I'm sure he did, as we all did, and I'm sure CVS knew way before the 7 days. I think it's just one step to making themselves appear and being more
healthy. I guess what I'm saying is I would have done it in two steps. I would have.
So it's bad advertising?
I think it's terrible advertising.
Okay.
I think
All right.
advertising.
Okay, I can go with you there.
See, their ad has made me think twice, and I'm going out of my way not to go into their stores now. I think that's how bad their advertising is. I think their advertising I think their advertising is what's cynical.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll agree with you there, but for what they're actually doing, I don't have a problem.
I do.
But I don't like CVS for different reasons.
You know what? There's all kinds of reasons to prefer one store over another.
Uh-huh.
I think this just showed such cynicism. You know, they understood that right next to the tobacco counter, they couldn't put in a health clinic. And the timing of this is just timed to cash in on all those new insurance policies that people have suddenly. So... there was a story in HuffPo called "Need More Proof Being Gay Isn't a Choice." Here it is.
Yeah, I want to. What are these?
I'm very curious. These are just comments, and some of them really bother me. It's far from being a choice. It's how you were born. You cannot control who you develop feelings for and who you find attractive.
Okay.
So that's next comment. Of course it's not a choice. When did you choose to be straight? And we say that all the time.
We say that all the time.
And you know something? Because a lot of straight people have never thought about it, it is a good argument because some people who weren't there with us on it, they think, oh, yeah, I never chose to be straight. I just always was. And they do get it. In fact, when Steve Blow did a story in the morning news, he had talked to John Thomas. This is back mm-hmm. in the 90s. And he did this column that – the conservatives they canceled their paper over this one silly column that he did. And he said he got it. But the way he worded this story was, He can't imagine having sex with a man. He finds it disgusting. And he went on and on like that, and he said, and that's why I believe it's not a choice.
Right.
And it was brilliant wording, because he really, this horrible.
Right,
you know,
right.
But what he was saying.
Why would somebody want to do that?
Yeah.
Right.
But then there were, nobody would choose to become a second-class citizen to get death threats and not be accepted by their own family. Okay, now we're starting to cross that line. Why would you choose? Now, we were going to make a list, and I forgot to make a list, because I'd rather be more fabulous. So if it's a choice for me, I'd rather be talented, be fabulous, have a wonderful community like the gay community is.
Uh-huh.
You know, I see straight people, and they've said this to me, how they're envious of our community, because we are a community.
Mm-hmm.
And we're interrelated in so many different ways. I'd choose it in a minute. The other reason I choose it is I'm very happy with who I am.
Yeah.
And choosing not to be would make me a different person. Why would I want to be a different person when I'm happy with who I am? So I don't like these arguments. Growing up, I would have chosen straight if I could do so. So the kicking would have stopped. That's a sad reason. That's not a good reason.
That is a sad reason, and that's actually a reason of the circumstance.
What that's saying is, it's somehow saying bullying is okay. No, I would have chosen to be more flaming, and then you want to pick on me? Not only am I not going to take it, but I'm going to have your butt arrested for assault. And I'm going to prosecute to the full extent of the law.
Right, right.
Because what you're doing, you know, a lot of these bullying laws, the reason they're necessary is because school administrators aren't understanding.
And
it's
they're
just
not doing
flat
anything.
Illegal.
Right.
You know,
right.
You put one finger on me and you're going down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not legal. It is called assault. And I would prosecute if it was my kid.
Oh, I would in a minute. In a minute.
You know, when you talk to your school administrator about you're having a daughter, in school, and are they going to have a problem with them? They said none at all. I mean, part of that is, and if any kid lays a finger on my daughter because she has two dads, that kid is getting her butt kicked.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. If they can't read between the lines and realize, okay, this is somebody who's on top of it, We need to watch our backs or watch our butts. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Right. The first city in Mississippi now has not just non-discrimination, but they have they're also offering partner benefits.
Mississippi?
In Mississippi, yes.
Mississippi?
Uh-huh.
Oh my God.
Now, the mayor of Mississippi is the cousin of Paul Scott. Do you remember Paul? He was the executive director of Resource Center. Then he moved to Austin and became the executive director of Equality Texas.
Now I remember.
Now
yes.
He's with Aid Services Austin. The mayor of that town, his name is Parker Wiseman. It's Paul's cousin. He's in a town called Starkville. It has a population of 24,000. They have full non-discrimination in housing, employment, and accommodations. And their city employees get partner benefits. Starkville, Mississippi.
Wow.
Good for them.
Great for them.
Like I've been saying, Mississippi is going to have marriage equality before Texas. Do you know there are more cities in Mississippi that have non-discrimination ordinances than in Texas?
Get out of here.
They're mostly small ones like Bay St. Louis and several others like that. More cities have non-discrimination ordinances than Texas cities have. And we have a whole lot more cities in Texas than
we do
in Mississippi.
We do.
We're out of time. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm here with Laurent Landis. Thank you, Josh. Thank you,
Chris.
Thank you, Doc, for all of your help today. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly next week.